B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We will win the playoffs for the Cubs. We're proud fans of the Bruins. There ain't no way we're losing. This is our time. We'll get it done. We'll beat up on Vancouver. Show them that we're not losers. If you know us, we're number one. We will win the playoffs. Yeah, we will win the playoffs. We will win the playoffs for the Cubs. Whoa.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And if you're making a parody song, why take the chorus out of the original song? Just sing right over.
Well, I mean, he pulled a Dundee Awards there when he came out and did the OPP thing and just didn't get the karaoke version, just rapped right over the actual lyrics.
Yeah. We will win the playoffs.
That's going to be in my head all day now.
We will win the playoffs for the Cup.
Actually, you're on the wrong key. For the Cup! It's got to be a little higher.
For the Cup!
There you go. That's more like it. You're right on it.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
So many Mike Behind the Mike Bruin songs from over the years. I mean, you know, you would think that Play Hockey Maybe during the lockout is an all-star.
Waiting for that.
Play Hockey Maybe?
Yes.
Maybe
even
on.
Though it doesn't directly have anything to do with where the Bruins are now, Play Hockey Maybe might be my favorite.
Play Hockey Maybe was great because it was an anthem. And I honestly think that that song's what ended the lockout. I think that the higher-ups heard that and was like, you know what? This is the voice of the fan. He's absolutely right. We need to play some hockey.
I mean, music has the power to end wars. It has the power to rekindle love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has the power to get these greedy bastards back at it. They
yep.
see they know that, oh boy, this guy's going to start a whole situation with the fans.
And then he had Win It Bruin Style, which might be his Stairway to Heaven. So that and Gronk is the word.
You saved that for the encore during the concert.
Well, okay, so I pulled up that video of him at the 10th anniversary thing and him singing Bruin Style live. I mean, it's magical. It's magical. And then he took his Bruins sweater off, and underneath it was a Patriots jersey, and that's when he did Gronk is the Word live.
Yeah, tough. Gronk is the Word is about as compelling as Bird is the Word.
It was
a
great.
Constant repetition.
It was great live.
Yep, it's great for about, 10 seconds, and then you start saying, this is really annoying. Bird is the Word is incredibly annoying. And then you throw Mike Behind the Mike Callahan on it.
And it becomes magic.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's great. Really went over like gangbusters at the big event.
But then, and then there's, of course, the duet that we all know.
A Bruins team can.
Which we still don't know who he's doing that duet
That's
with.
That's his girlfriend. It's got to be.
I don't know if he had a girlfriend back then. He certainly does now. I believe they're big fans of the Carnival cruises.
Oh.
Okay. Like they'll go out on a Carnival cruise. I know a girl who is taking several pictures from her trip on a Carnival cruise. And I go, at which point do you get salmonella poisoning? But
that's not the one where everyone got the squirts, right?
I don't think a Carnival cruise is the most healthy thing to be on.
No. There was that one that was like stranded at sea where everyone got the squirts.
I'm
remember?
Sure it was Carnival, or at least had something to do with the Carnival cruise,
possibly. But yeah, so Mike behind the mic, I wouldn't mind a one final song for the final. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. If he could possibly bust out another one, it does take a while. I know that. It is, you know, you can't just rush art.
Well, the series isn't exactly every other day either.
Yeah, I mean, you got at least a week left.
I'm thinking there's some wiggle room
here. Okay, so I was thinking about something. If for some reason this game was over or the series was over in five and the Bruins, let's say the Bruins win the next three, that final game five is on Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay. That would mean normal logic would make you think that the parade would be on Saturday, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
One problem. Saturday is also the Pride Parade.
Yeah, gay pride.
So would you mix the two of them together?
Absolutely.
That would be the best.
I would have the floats and the duck boats go side by side.
Or just like put members of the Pride Parade on the same duck boats, well, just mix them together.
You would have to have that happen organically.
And you know it would.
Right. No, if you had but Bear Force One, the crew would have to come out.
At that point, that would be destiny. You would have to invite them from wherever they're from, Sweden or I'm not sure what. I mean, it looks like some sort of Scandinavian type of group, but I would fly them in. You would have to fly them in to be on the lead float.
Now, I've never seen the Pride Parade here in Boston.
I see it every year. It's like right. It goes right by my place.
Yeah, what's the route?
Okay, so I know that
Canal Street.
Well, it's pretty close to the same route that the duck boat parade goes on. Like, I mean, they go right down Boylston Street, and I think they go through the South End too, I believe. But there was one year where the Pride Parade had been over for like 3 hours, and I was over near Government Center, and one of the floats just said, "Dude, I'll pay $100 just to drive around town." And like one of the floats was just going like to the North End and stuff. No. It was like a bunch of guys dressed as like angels. Like, we're not going to give up the party. Let's go. And I'm like, all right, man.
I told you the story about my buddy moved to Midtown Atlanta, which was incredibly gay. And he moves in. I've probably told this story before, but he moves in. And a Friday, and him and his brother move him into his place. And there's all this noise early in the morning. And he goes out, and he sees these floats going by. And there's, like, dudes in overalls, like, baling hay. And then there's guys, like, leather boys and stuff. And his brother goes, like, is this every Saturday? And then, so he's like, all right. And he goes, oh, there's a bookstore right like down the street. I'm going to go to it. Outright Books. And so he goes in the bookstore, and there's like Mapplethorpe, photo books, and just like...
Just like these greeting cards that look like Hallmark cards with full frontal nudity.
I mean, there's like a lot of like butt play and things of that nature. He goes like, where did I move during the day?
He didn't realize it was just the Pride weekend at that point.
He was like, he had no idea, and they're going down his street.
Yeah, the Pride Parade, okay, so like during the summer, during the months where it's nice outside, there's like a ton of parades. Like a bunch of groups have parades down Boylston Street just randomly, and some of them are just thrown together. And you could tell, like you could see like early in the day, like which ones try. Like they'll bring the floats out there and they'll put them together like an hour before the parade, and it'll be just like dudes on a flatbed of a truck. Like it'd be just like these random small groups. And then there's the Pride Parade, which is by far the best and most intricate and over-the-top. Like, I mean, the way that they decorate, I mean, it is...
Give me examples of the various floats. There has to be a bear one, correct?
No, there's one that every year I see, and it's the one that is the most, like, astonishing and confusing and amazing, and it's, like, old gay Monopoly guys. Like, they're all, like, dressed with, like, top hats and canes, and they sit in these chairs, but it's like the elder...
elder statesmen of the gay
community. They look like from like the 1920s,
right,
like monocles
standees.
And stuff.
Yeah,
and
okay, but what?
And then there's the pony one.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Isn't there a community that it's like one leads a horse?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, Nick interviewed a couple of those guys one time, and it was like these guys who like. Put their like other guys on these. That's not leashes because that's it's not like
no,
a dog.
No, it's a bridle.
It's right. It's like a bridle,
and it goes in your mouth.
And they're like ponies, and they ride them
they're
around
called
like ponies.
Ponies. Yeah,
yeah, I think that's the name. They're called ponies, and that's fairly intricate too. I mean, they also have floats too, and I mean, they put time into this stuff.
Yeah, the ones in the Midtown parade, because of course my wife was obsessed with it. Like every straight woman is obsessed with gay guys. She, yeah, there was like country boys that baled hay. There was the leather fellas.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of the other like different like themes, but there's a ton. And, I mean, honestly, what do you do? Because you can't have the parade on a Sunday, right? Like, they're not going to have it on a Sunday.
Why not?
Because there's got to be some sort of ordinances. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some sort of reason. There's
every single person will be insured.
Okay.
No, but I mean, I guarantee you that they wouldn't do it on a Sunday. They probably would not.
I don't know about that, but I still like the idea that they run concurrently.
Well, that would be ideal. That would be the best if they could do it that way. Because, I mean, don't you think that... wouldn't the people in the Pride Parade think that was amazing that 2 million people for the first time came to see their parade?
I think the Pride people would be very excited. I'm not positive about the Bruins.
Oh, they would be jacked. They'd have no problem with that.
I'd like to hear the negotiations involved, what that conversation would be like.
But so here's what you got to root for.
No one more tolerant than the professional athletes.
In this town, I think they would be completely fine with it. And on top of that, too, you have to root for that to happen. For the Bruins to win the next three games, because it would be kind of amazing chaos. That two
it would be really funny. But
who would make the first phone call? You know,
like Marchand just riding a pony.
I mean, he would totally be that way, and like Pasta, you know, just like, with one of the monocle guys.
Hey, Pasta. I'm a monocle guy. I think you're all right. What do you say?
He would say.
Thanks. What do you want to do after this? Grab a bite?
Pasta bologna.
Okay, we can do that.
Pasta.
I wonder if there's
pasta
like
meat sauce for lunch and
like a Luigi
pasta.
Like everyone's got like mustaches and are ready to go.
So yeah, root for that to happen. Not only you know would the Bruins just you know win out, which I'm sure you would want, but then it would cause a massive question. For the city of Boston, and it could end up being something glorious, something that seems like a head scratcher and that could be originally a problem on paper could turn into something amazing like the city's never seen before.
People would remember it forever.
Oh, the players would love it. The fans would love it. It would be unbelievable. Twice the size of the parade. Just put one between the next. You know, put like Zdeno Chara in one float, and then the next one would be the guys dressed as ponies.
You know what would have the biggest problem, I think, would come from the gay pride parade.
See, I think that they would almost welcome that. Because,
nah.
I mean, 2 million people coming down and being, like, them being able to do that in front of 2 million people.
Yeah,
because if it's on a Saturday, you're getting 2 million people. That's what happened last time.
Yeah, it's supposed they asked the pride parade people to move their parade for, like, a day and have them do it on Sunday. And the guys... You know, we have permits. This is legal. Why should we move anything?
No, you don't move the Pride Parade.
That's what I'm saying is
Pride Parade's huge, by the way.
Suppose the Bruins want them to move it. I mean, do you think they will? No, probably not.
Because I don't see them waiting till
Monday. We do this every year. We've had this scheduled for 6 months. Why should we move it? You guys do it Sunday.
And like down, like right at the Government Center, there's always like a big concert. Like Big Frida was there last year.
Yeah.
And in Government Center, if you remember, during the Bruins parade in 11, I mean, that was ground zero. That was, remember, Felger was up on the big tower, and it was just a sea of humanity down
there? Sure.
Oh, it would be the best. That would be the most fun this city's ever been in one day.
That's true.
I mean, it would be epic.
Everyone's doing poppers and just running around. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's get to some of the Bruins news, especially regarding Sundqvist and the suspension. And what do they do from there? How you replace Grizzlick? We'll get to all that information.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Touch and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Touch and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Touch and Rich. And Rich, there is a news brewing.
Mm-hmm, no
and
pun intended.
By the way, at 8 o'clock, we're going to... Mike Lockhart tells me a whole situation with the St. Louis station. And it's, Mike, I have to confess, I listened to a little of it. But it's not so much, they're not talking about us as they are doing their own. Am I right here? It's more their own bit.
Yeah.
Not good.
Oh, really? They couldn't handle it.
I stopped listening because I wanted to keep it fresh because that's kind of what we do here.
Well, I accidentally clicked on the wrong hour, and I found that almost even more entertaining than when they were talking about us.
It's that Bernie Michalas.
Bernie Michalas, who used to write for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Legendary writer.
Wasn't a bad columnist. Not much of a host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a play that changed the tone of game two.
Grizzlick run into there by Sundquist. Meanwhile, the puck comes out in front, but Grizzlick is down, and there'll be a penalty coming up here.
Sundquist, he's the one that made contact with Grizzlick. He's the one that took the bad penalty against Krug in game number one. David Backus over with Steen, his old buddy. Now you got Petrangelo there, gathering of the clans.
Question will be how many minutes here with Grizzlick injured?
Looked like Grizzlick changed his level a bit, Doc,
so
as he
dumb.
Was going back for the puck. And it looked like he just lost his, you know, he just lowered his level a little bit.
Please.
And that's where the contact came by Sundquist up high. See how he's looking? He knows. And it looks like he was going to move one way and put the puck back the other way.
Well, with Matt Grizzlick.
By the end of the show, we had, I know I was. But we were all pretty convinced he was going to get suspended.
Yes, yeah, it was a headshot from behind. It doesn't matter how you got there. And all the people who were defending Charlie McAvoy, like, no, he didn't raise his arm. He leaned in. He that's another thing. He angled one way, but the head came down. It's a head hit. It's a headshot. The NHL's trying to get rid of that regardless.
And it's not like Grizzlick turtled and got hit in the head.
Right. It acts as a deterrent, regardless of how you got there.
But the thing about Grizzlick is, like, how much did that? Now, they replayed that 85 times.
Sure.
So you got a good look. I mean, how much did Grizzlick really move? I mean, you're a human being. I mean, you're on skates. I mean, your body's going to turn. You're not a robot. So that whole thing, that whole analysis on television was dumb.
If you have to slow it down to frame by frame to determine whether or not he gets suspended, he should get suspended.
Yes.
Well, with Matt Grizzlick, he's out of the hospital, but he's in concussion protocol. We waited all day yesterday until about 8 p.m. to find out what the NHL Department of Player Safety was going to do regarding Oscar Sundquist. And it was right about then that we got another one of these super sleek, awesome, overproduced videos.
Wednesday night in Boston, St. Louis forward Oscar Sundquist was penalized for boarding Bruins defenseman Matt Grizzlick. As the video shows, the puck is dumped into the Bruins defensive zone, and Grizzlick goes back to retrieve it, with Sundquist pursuing on the forecheck. Grizzlick arrives at the puck and immediately attempts to wrap it around the net. As he does, Sundquist adjusts his course, then hits him forcefully from behind with speed, driving him violently into the glass and causing an injury. To summarize, this is boarding. Sundquist has been neither fined nor suspended previously in his 144-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Oscar Sundquist for one playoff game.
Okay, so... Sweet. Now I know it's
that's
over.
Awesome. I mean, that's
that really good.
By the way,
that sucks. Here's why that sucks. Is if they gave him a major, it would have been the Bruins would have won the game. So now you take out a 4-1.
Are you sure about that? Because they weren't doing very well in the power play.
The odds, well, they were worse 5-on-5. I'm with Fred. The only way they were going to win that game, considering how poorly they played 5-on-5, was to get a long power play.
Now, do I know they were going to win? I mean, obviously not. But, I mean, if you get 5 minutes of uninterrupted power play, And as Billy was saying, this replay policy and, you know, the idea that they can go back gives the refs a break because they're really hesitant to call a major because they know that completely changes the outcome.
San Jose got four goals on a five-minute major to win them game seven, or at least send it to overtime and win them game seven.
Right. So the idea is that since they didn't give the major, now the league has bailed them out. So they're missing a fourth line player, but it would have been 1,000 times better if Boston had gotten that 5 minute.
It would have been a game changer, or at the very least, dramatically increased their odds of winning. Yes.
Well, the hit was deemed worthy of suspension.
They were ahead, right, at the time?
No, I think they were tied.
Okay, regardless. No. All right, so they were tied.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they were playing me, there would have been shorthanded chances, but
I would have liked their chances a heck of a lot more.
Yeah,
I mean, playing with the lead in the third period would have been much different.
Yes.
Instead of three shots on goal during the power plays, it would have had four.
No, I think it would have been a little different.
You can kind of
they were bad, we can all agree. But,
well, I agree.
You kind of set up shop a little bit within five minutes.
For sure.
And at least tire guys out.
Well, the other thing that was in that video that we were, you know, ended so dramatically with this iron clashing against iron, it was, did you get a little Game of Thrones chub there? Were you just thinking that we're back in the... We're back in the dark ages.
I'm not going to lie. I missed a show.
They say that it was deemed worthy of a suspension also because Sundquist finished his check with force, even though he had ample time to adjust his path and to minimize the force of the hit, avoid the hit, or adjust his course to deliver a legal check. They also added that this is not a situation in which a sudden and unexpected movement by the player receiving the check turns a legal hit into an illegal hit, which is what they were trying to say there on the broadcast.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah. So yesterday, Bruce Cassidy was asked about Grizzlick, how he's faring health-wise, and what's his plans for replacement.
Obviously, we're going to list him as day-to-day. It's Thursday. We don't play till Saturday. Typically, I'll give out the lineup either Friday or Saturday. So right now, that's the best I got for you. You know, Johnny Moore's played. Stephen Kamfer's played. Johnny Moore's a left stick. Talked about that. That's the easiest thing is to keep everyone on their strong sides. But we'll look at that a little more once we find out from Matt. We don't practice today. We're traveling tomorrow morning. Have a better idea. Look at practice and then make our decision and ultimately decide Saturday. But Friday's practice would probably be a bigger indicator.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, Moore's probably the easiest thing. He's played in five games this postseason. He had an average time on ice of a little less than 13 minutes.
Oh, wow. So, that's good for a defenseman.
Well, he's a third-line defenseman to start with.
No, I know, but it's 13 minutes. They don't have a lot of faith in him.
They just need a guy to take up time that doesn't hurt you.
Well, John Moore's not that guy.
No?
John Moore sucks.
Well, what's the other option?
Kamfer.
Playing on his offside.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, Moore's their option because they're down three defensemen.
Yeah.
So, great.
I mean, this is what you have.
You're going to toss in a big pile of garbage. So, yes, I'm not overly thrilled that John Moore would be playing in that game.
Well, there is one famous Hall of Famer who says Grizzlick got what he deserved on Wednesday night. We will play that audio and tell you who that is after John Walk's headlines.
Is he an old salty soul?
He is salty as hell. A salty as all get out, as they like to say.
Is he an old timer that remember when?
Yep, absolutely.
Dresses well, too.
Oh, okay. I believe I know who this might be. But I will solve the mystery just like everyone out there. Here are the headlines.
Country and Rich, 98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Parayko, high slot from the right circle. Perron. Back to Parayko. Shoots blocked.
And Nordstrom laying out to block that shot.
He's stunned
on a one-timer
right
from Parayko. He's hurt.
Parayko, high slot. Shoots blocked. Rebound in the slot. Batted left of the net. Trouble here. Squirts over to the near side. Corrali. Nordstrom still trying to shake it off. High slot, Parayko. And it's blocked again by Nordstrom. Near point, Parayko. Nordstrom going for the block again. Parayko deals to the far point.
The shades of Gregory Campbell.
baby fearing they gonna go to hell. Asking the father for forgiveness got them overwhelmed.
98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We forgot to play a song today that I think we're going to play coming out of the next break.
Oh, yeah?
In Memoriam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll have to do that.
Yeah, it was actually Mike's idea.
I thought it was a great idea. I actually learned a little bit about that guy, and he's a weird dude.
Well, I mean, he's got Euchre's whole thing.
Yes, he does. Well, right
have
there.
Have you ever heard Norm MacDonald's Bob Euchre story?
No.
All right, so who is the guy that sang for Clearwater?
John Fogerty.
Yeah, okay. So he goes, he's in the, Norm MacDonald's in the booth with Bob Euchre. They get along. So he goes, you know, John Fogerty's coming up here. And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah. He's one of those rock and roll musicians. He goes, yeah, 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 I know he is. And he goes, you probably think this effort's biting the heads off a bat, but I played golf with him in a celebrity golf tournament. Damn, can he get out of a sand trap? And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to have him come up in the seventh inning and sing for us. He goes, no, no, please, please, please don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, he was in Clearwater Revival, and he did all these things, and Bob Euchre goes, yeah, he did all that FNS.
No, bro, he just swearing during the broadcast.
No, it's all fair, but he's so unaware of who he is.
Like, he bite the head off a bat.
He goes, you probably think this mother effer's biting the heads off a bat.
You know, this Captain and Tennille, you probably thought they were sacrificing, like, young children to the pagan gods.
So, like, he didn't really
have any concept. Rock and roll was all the same. Everyone was Ozzy.
Right, exactly.
Well.
But this guy, I mean, but I played a celebrity golf tournament with him.
Jeez, man. That guy kind of got screwed. He got screwed out of his own music. For years, Fogerty couldn't perform anything from Clearwater Revival, which apparently he wrote almost all of it. And
so, that's what you get for being an anti-war hippie.
Well, I guess that's that was the case. Well, game two, as you heard right there, Nordstrom, or Nordy, as his teammates like to call him, because all you need to do is add a Y to the first syllable of any last name in hockey nickname world. Well, the moment where he blocked two shots in a row with his leg and seemed to be in pain stood out as one of the few positives, and here he was asked how he's now feeling.
First of all, I feel pretty good. Obviously, you get maybe a bruise or so, but nothing more than that. Just, you know, just trying to do whatever it takes to keep the puck out of the net. Lucky enough to be in the right spot there twice.
Yep. And then there was Patrice Bergeron, who knew that playing with 5D men because Grizzlick was out isn't ideal, like they had to on Wednesday. He was asked about whether he thought it affected their game.
Yeah, I think anytime you're there's a guy that goes down, you know, obviously it's not easy to play with five defensemen as a forward group. Like you mentioned, it's you need to get back and try to help out. And you know, I think in this particular series, St. Louis are really good on the forecheck and they're coming fast and hard. So you need to make sure you buy some time for them. So that's it's always been the motto. But obviously, it's always the same way. You play together. You play as a team. And when that happens during a game, everyone has to find a way to kind of help out.
And Patrice also realized that the team was absolutely dominated in overtime. If you go back and watch that, it's a tough, like, 4 minutes to watch. I mean, there was nothing positive about that in the Bruins' favor. And he was asked about the game winner and what went wrong.
Well, I think he's got obviously a great shot. But, you know, they're making plays. They're playing well as a line, I think. And he's used his speed well. And he's finding ways to get away from I guess, coverage to get open. And he finds ways to get that puck. And once he does have it, it doesn't stay long on his stick.
Well, then there's Grapes. Don Cherry on Hockey Night in Canada, after seeing that hit by Sundquist, wearing some sort of subdued, I guess, for Don Cherry. It kind of looked like a like if you were to take the art from the bedroom of a Holiday Inn, mm-hmm. of like a field of grass and turn it into a jacket. That's pretty much what it looked like.
Disappointing, actually.
Yeah, very. It was way too subdued for Don Cherry. He had a theory about the hit by Sundquist on a Grizzlick, and that theory was that Grizzlick deserved what he got.
Kids, you never, ever go in the corners like this. He didn't mean to hit him. He was just finishing his check. This is a penalty here. Look how he goes in head first. He's just asking for it. I mean, I don't blame the guy. He just finishing his check. He didn't mean to hit him in the head. You never go in the corner like that. You never, ever do it like that. You're just asking for it. And this is the old deal with the helmet on. Remember, Nick and I were talking. You didn't have, you'd have your head on a swivel. You'd never go in like that. Anyhow, that's a one shot.
I'm with you, Don. Two is okay by me. The other hit was Carlo got it early in the period. Sammy Blay lined him up and kind of got him in the numbers as well, but it's a bang-bang play, and they're clearly...
Well, they're banging. This is a playoff. This is a goal like this. They're trying to get back from last year, right, or last game. And I see how he's got his head turned. Never do that, kids.
And
you're
too far
just
out.
Asking for it.
All right, a couple things about that. First of all,
my day we played without pads.
Yeah,
without helmet.
Well, they showed that Carlo hit again. And, you know, in the game, they didn't really, I think they replayed it once. But when you see it like another time and you kind of put it in perspective as what happened to Grizzly, dude, Carlo could have got knocked the F out too. I mean, he got killed on that one, and his head, I mean, it was at a different angle. It was more to the side, and it was more like an ear hole hit. But, I mean, it slapped and snapped right up against it.
Well, that was the idea, is that they were going to move pucks deep and forecheck.
Yep.
So, I mean, they wanted to do that. They wanted to punish the defense.
Oh, I mean, not just the defense. I mean, you could tell they intentionally went after Tuukka, too, and took liberties with him.
Yeah, especially you ran over him twice,
yeah,
of course.
Good, they can do that every play. And go get themselves penalized. I mean, Rask can take getting knocked down.
But if you're St. Louis and you know the other team is faster, you hit them as much as you can to slow them down.
Yeah, that. But if they want to run into Rask, good for you.
True.
Yeah. So you just keep getting penalties.
But man,
keep
what
the Bruins' chances?
What an unbelievable FU answer by those guys. I mean, just after being pushed around and humiliated in game one. I mean, that was,
yeah.
As I said, I mean, if you were a Bruins, if that was the Bruins, you'd be like, absolutely, that's what I wanted to see. And, you know, even though it was, you know, dirty with the Grizzly thing, it was definitely borderline dirty, whatever you want to call it. But that was a ballsy answer. And now...
Yeah, it had to go to overtime.
You're right. And that's the other thing, too, is that as bad as the Bruins played and as aggressively as St. Louis played... Like, can St. Louis play that same aggression in Game 3?
They're going to try,
sure. They're going to try. Are the Bruins going to play that poorly in Game 3? There's no way.
They've got to figure out a way to, when they chip the puck in, to have some sort. I don't know what the answer is.
Find a way to move the puck a lot quicker than they did.
Yeah, I'm not a hockey coach. I don't know how. But, I mean, it's fairly obvious what the Bruins were doing. The Blues were doing. And there's Cassidy's got to have an answer to it.
I want to see Tuukka snap again. He hasn't done it in a long time.
I don't want to see him snap.
No. No. The whole idea.
After the series.
Is playing it cool. That's the whole idea. That's why he's as good as he is, remaining quiet. So I'm all for the way he's doing things. And I too just saw a video yesterday about him snapping his stick in Providence and, you know, breaking it across the crossbar and all that stuff. That's great to watch, but no.
Hasn't he broken his stick as a Bruin? I think he has.
I'm sure he has.
I've seen it before.
The video I saw was from Providence.
Well, that was an epic meltdown.
That's a legendary.
Like, that's the one where he was like leaving the ice and he was going crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he got a little pissed at Grizzly, but I want to see him keep his cool. Just keep your emotions in
check. I want to see that because that's something I didn't get. Because you said he gave him like the eye or something.
No, he yelled at him.
See, I didn't see that. I need to watch that because that to me is. Rare. You've seen him keep his cool.
He didn't like lose his mind, but he was pretty pissed.
I got to look back too. I forgot to do that yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you may take a note.
Sorry. You know what?
Fred's the kind of guy who watches the All 22.
I know. No, it's not. It's the All 12s. Right?
No, I'm saying all 12s, in the NFL season. Yeah. He's watching like the you know above right. and you know breaking it down.
That's right. You have to have the halo seat like I had to see the whole ice.
Yeah,
right.
I understand. Yeah, I got all the angles. I got to. All right. I'm being told to take Mark from Medford.
Okay.
You got it?
Just go.
Oh, you don't want to take the call?
I mean, I'll take it eventually.
All right. I think it's time to break, and then we can all come right back. And let's talk about the absolute mind game that the Raptors played against the Warriors yesterday. And, of course, Draymond Green, still the best soundbite in the NBA.
All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before. Who cared when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared. Sometimes things get turned around and no one's spared. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good life yet.
Drop kick your jacket. Like, it seems fairly impossible. It would just get caught on your toe.
No, you walk in and it's a metaphor.
Drop kick your jacket. Who cares? Leon Redbone's a weird dude, so he died, I guess. And
that was his greatest work,
possibly. Or what's his name? Someone J. Frog from the WB. Wasn't he the voice of the singing frog? Hello, my baby. Or maybe I think he was the voice of one of the frogs. Like WB Frog.
That's not quite Mr. Belvedere.
It's but not right. Mr. Belvedere. Well, I mean, listen, that's still not the best moment in Mr. Belvedere history. It's a...
Hi, Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hi, champ. How's it going?
Well, I gotta eat, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Get this out of the way.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Leon Redbone. First of all, how weird is this dude? Like, he kind of became something in, like, the 70s. And, like, he said, I'm just going to do ragtime.
Yeah.
And, like, I read these interviews with, like, guys like Bob Dylan who, like, ran into him and stuff. And they said, when I met him, I didn't know if he was, like, 24 or 60.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't tell. He wore, like, these dark glasses and, like, a Panama hat. And you're like, no, like, he never, like, answered any questions in any sort of interview seriously. He was like this mysterious weirdo. Kind of like how do people work around this station in the morning sometimes.
I would like to
like there's questions to be asked and you don't know if they're able to be answered
and what they're doing and where they are. But I'll tell you this is that Mr. Belvedere, when a stranger comes to your door, if we've learned anything, you let him in and start living with your kids.
Very strange.
Right.
Very, very weird.
If you're outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that is exactly what you do.
Okay, now you're the master of all things sitcom. You've seen everything. Did you watch Mr. Belvedere?
Yes.
Okay. Because my question was like, that was one of those shows that existed in like some sort of like weird time-space continuum where I don't know anybody who ever watched an episode, except for you, of course.
The
Fred.
Older boy, there was a very frustrating episode where the woman that, you'll know this, the Wallach,
yeah,
is the one that burned down the float.
Christine Elise,
yes, she was the a whore,
oh,
nothing but a tramp.
Okay,
and she went over to the Belvederes and tried to seduce the older boy, who at first was game, mm-hmm. but then came to the conclusion that he didn't want to lose his virginity that way. And as a youth, I became furious. Saying, like, this attractive woman is
right.
Obviously coming on to you. Like, why will you not make love to her?
I mean, by the way, somebody wants to drop in on the Redbone conversation. I'm fine with that because I know this is just such a weird dude and a weird topic. What possibly could somebody add?
All right, Henry, go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Oh, it's Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins, hey. Thanks for calling in.
Let me tell you, there is no one more punk rock than Leon Redbone.
Yeah.
Ian and I used to sit around, and Guy would come through, and we would just spin the Redbone 7 inches in the Haagen-Dazs and just lose our minds.
Now, Henry, you're doing an awful lot of documentary work now that I'm not sure anyone's seen.
Yeah, no, there's a film crew in my house every day. I'm not sure it ever gets used for anything. But they just throw me on as a talking head, whether it's about, punk rock or, foreign affairs or weightlifting or whatever the case may be. I like the sound of my own voice. It's pretty good.
All right. So how did you come to this? Who was the biggest influence in your life?
Well, I mean, other than my history teacher who, made sure that I got access to free weights and, would punch me in the hall every day. It's him and Redbone, basically 1 and 1A. So, they've really just made me kind of want to get out there and punch life in the chest.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I can hear the Leon Redbone influence in the Who's Remember Got the 10.5 album.
We did.
Well, that's Husker Du. I'm getting my black flag and Husker Du mixed up.
We did this thing like TV Moms or something.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia Owens there from Mr. Belvedere. Mwah! Milfaroonie.
This is weird. Okay, so I just got sent Alf. You know Alf, the alien?
Yeah, alien life form.
He had a talk show, and Leon Redbone was a guest, and Bryan Cranston was also a guest on Alf's talk show.
Really?
Okay. Okay, well, this is fantastic. That's something I might have to explore. Leon Redbone just like... I think that if somebody didn't give him a guitar, he'd be one of those dudes just like wandering the street and yelling at buildings.
He'd be like in Harvard Square.
Right. He would be like a guy busking right next to the Harvard Square hippie puppeteer, who's missing, by the way. I have no idea where that
Uh-oh.
Guy went.
Yeah, I was there not too long ago. All right, what was the name of the girl there?
Christina Lise.
Christine, she was very big into the hardcore scene here.
Did not know that.
Christina Lise.
What do you think, Harvard Square hippie puppeteer?
Well.
That dude, nightmares. Nightmares from that guy. He used to have those giant puppet heads that he would hide behind it, and he would just like speak with a little microphone. And,
are you happy with 84 cents on the dollar?
84 cents on the dollar would be pretty fantastic, actually.
By the way, Amy Dolan's on the show. Remember Amy Dolan? She had that like one movie.
Oh, Tony Danza, right?
Yeah,
my daughter.
And
she's like, becoming hot.
Like the hottest girl like ever in that movie. All right. Well, guess who pleasured himself back when she was in that movie? That's right. I did it more than once.
Can you do your next read for Godzilla and Leon Redbone voice, John Wallach?
Here comes Godzilla. He's got a murder she wrote.
Okay. I don't have another shot at it. I wish
Angela Lansbury, she would solve the crimes in my heart. But sometimes you get an idea that you want Granny. Even though you're postmenopausal, I want to do you all good.
Gonna need all the help that we can get.
You do the Leon Redbone updates?
Life is more than mere survival. We just might live a good life, yeah.
What?
What even like the what a depressing show. Like, I can't believe people would watch it. Somebody just goes, we watched it all the time but didn't like it. Like, I think there was a day and age where people just sat in front of the TV because it was on.
No, please. It was on for a long time, over 100 episodes. So, you can say what you want.
Was Uecker anything other than like an announcer before that show? Was that his like acting break?
I think that it was his acting break. And you know what he liked to do on that show? He was always reading the paper. He was always sitting down reading the paper.
Once again, sounds like a great show.
By the way, the Amy Dolan's in also the new Leave It to Beaver. Do you remember that?
No.
The new Leave It to Beaver?
No. You don't remember that?
No.
The song, oh, 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 Fire in the Gym.
What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've watched way too many sitcoms.
That's no clue.
Well, see, the show was Wally and the Beaver had their own families.
Ah.
And they were going through the trials and tribulations of the late 80s youth. And the kids formed a rock band, and they played the talent show, and they wanted to strike a chord with the students and just how tough life could be.
There's no way that lasted more than 10 episodes. No way the new Leave It to Beaver lasted more than 10
episodes. No, I would say the new Leave It to Beaver did fine. The new Leave It to... It was called Still the Beaver. And 102 episodes.
Are you kidding me?
No way, network?
That's four, five seasons?
Syndicated.
Still the Beaver. That's a show that if you would have had a gun to my head, I would have said there's no way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.